It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Researchers with the United Church of Christ estimate that dozens of churches close each week. And here in Wisconsin and across the country, billions of dollars of church-owned property is expected to change hands or be repurposed in coming years.
A new essay collection examines how church communities can transform their properties to better serve their neighborhoods. Reverend Mark Elsden is Executive Director of Press House and Press House Apartments on the UW-Madison campus. He is editor of the book Gone for Good, Negotiating the Coming Wave of Church Property Transition. Reverend Elsden, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, you talk about the importance of churches in your life growing up, and you said literally hundreds of churches have had an impact on you. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so I thought about this recently to sort of think back on my life and the way that churches have impacted my life. I obviously am a clergy member, so there's that part of it, but there's way more connection points than that. I actually got my name, my last name, Elsden, from an orphan baby left on the steps of a church in rural northern England hundreds of years ago. And that baby was named after the town of Elsden, where that church was. And that was the first Elsden, supposedly, in the world. And so from way before I was even around and my ancestors, churches had a role to play. And then since then, there's been so many examples of my parents are immigrants from that area in England, meeting their friends for the first time as new people living in the United States. I met my spouse serving a meal for those who were unhoused at church when I was in college. You know, the list just could go on and on. Hundreds of ways churches have touched my life.
One of my favorite was tracking mud into the church. I think it was cross country team, you know, just
yeah,
there was, coming in as you are.
That's right. There was when I was in high school, our cross country team would a few of us would split off from the back of our long runs and go hide and play in the gym, play basketball in the gym while everyone else ran. And we were in a church, in the church gym playing basketball. And then we'd look out the window. And as they came back, we would just sneak out and join the back of the run, you know. So yeah, that was another example of a church gym being really important during that part of my life.
Well, church attendance, as you're well aware of the numbers, religious affiliation has been on the decline throughout the country. There's the latest Gallup survey. The number of Americans with no religious affiliation has doubled over the past 20 years. What effect is this having on church properties? Is there a connection point?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, just the way people engage in their faith is changing, and therefore the way people attend church or the numbers of people attending church or the regularity, both, all of that is changing. And therefore, the spaces that were built for church attendance, worship, and Sunday school, and those sorts of things are no longer as useful as they were in many settings. And so it is having a ripple effect, a trickle-down effect, you might say, on the property and on the real estate and the buildings and the land. And there just simply is more space, more buildings than needed for the way people are engaging in their life of faith today as they were, you know, 20 years ago and certainly 50 years ago.
You find this moment a defining moment for American Christianity as churches look take a hard look at their properties. Is this getting enough consultation within churches right now?
I think it depends. There are pockets. There are places where people are really wrestling with this, thinking a lot about it. And then there are other places where there's not a lot of conversation happening yet. And I think people are going to be a little caught off guard, you know, and when they sort of realize the implications of this. So it really is a mixture, and it depends on locality, it depends on denomination. But broadly speaking, the issue is pretty much universal across geography, across the United States, across big city, small town, rural, urban, different denominations. All of them are dealing with this in some form or another. Yeah.
And one of the takeaways from the book is that churches and congregations need a really long runway to talk about what that next iteration will be for the church property, that you need a lot of time. And sometimes if a congregation is financially strapped, you don't have that runway. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, I often get called or emailed saying we've got, a year left of money. And I think, well, it's a bit late for some of these, these conversations, sort of, what can we do? And there are some things that can be done, but the options are far fewer when that runway is that short. And I always encourage people to be thinking about this way further out. And I actually think the question of how to make best use of church real estate, buildings and land, is really a question for any church, not just ones that are struggling or ones that are going to close or ones that are shrinking, but all of them, even ones that are thriving, because there's so many ways that we can use the kind of the assets, the property and the land and the buildings for good in our communities beyond the ways we're using them currently. And so let's have that conversation really in every church everywhere. And yes, I do encourage people that have a little bit of a horizon to jump on it right away, because there are many, many more options that are exciting and interesting and significant for their communities if they have time to work out those options. And if they don't, they're going to get a little caught out with just selling or closing. Yeah.
What are some of those ways that churches across America are repurposing and seeing their property come to life in new ways?
Yeah, there's so many interesting. Every time I have a conversation with somebody somewhere, I hear new ideas that I haven't thought of before. But there's some very common ones that people might have heard about more recently. Housing is a big one. So affordable housing is a big one that's happening, especially in places like New York City and California and so on. But it's certainly relevant in Wisconsin as well. There's a lot of land available, even where churches are still functioning as a church. Often there's land available where housing can be built. And it's kind of mission-aligned land where people might say, we don't need to necessarily derive the very top dollar from this land. So can we offer it in some way, in some partnership to enhance affordable housing options in our community, which is greatly needed in so many places. And then there's things like early childhood education, which is something that churches have been doing for a long, long time, actually. And then, coffee shops is another type of thing, or co-working spaces is one that people have explored. Churches, I know churches that have taken their entire fellowship hall or sometimes even their sanctuary and turned it into a co-working space Monday to Friday, and then they sort of flip it over maybe for Sunday activity, and they activate that space throughout the entire week. And then there's some really much more different types of ideas. People are putting soccer fields on unused green space that they might have. People are putting EV charging stations in their parking lot if they're near a highway. There's churches in rural settings that are partnering with healthcare providers to do kind of part-time health clinics in a setting where a healthcare provider wants to come into the community, but they don't really need to or want to or can't afford to build a standalone health clinic, and they might want somebody on site 3 mornings a week. Well, a church is a great space for something like that to happen. The list is endless in some ways once people get creative and think about it.
We're talking about how church properties can be repurposed in creative ways with Mark Elsden, a pastor and executive director of Prez House. That's on the UW-Madison campus. It includes a church building, also an apartment community. Can you talk a little bit about the creative transformation of church buildings and the ripple effect, the halo effect on people in the neighborhood who may not be members of the congregation but are benefiting from what is happening on that church property?
Yeah, so I think it's interesting. A lot of folks may not attend a church, may not have attended a church for a long, long time, or perhaps even ever, and perhaps think that the church really is irrelevant to them and doesn't make any difference to them. And I think more of us than we might imagine would be surprised to realize that churches do actually play a lot of different roles in their community. And so Partners for Sacred Places is an organization that coined this term, the halo effect, and they actually studied the economic impact of activity in churches in different parts of the country. And in one of their studies, I believe it was 91% of 89%, I believe is the number actually, of visits to a church in the community were not for worship. They were for something else. Visiting a food pantry to pick up some food when bills were tight, or attending an AA meeting, an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting in the church, or a neighborhood association meeting, or a Girl Scout troop meeting, or here in Wisconsin, at least in the Madison area, a lot of us vote in churches. And so even though we may not go to worship regularly, there's a whole lot of activity going on in church buildings. And again, sort of thinking ahead, there's a whole lot of other activity that could go on in church buildings. So it's sort of both what we're going to lose when those go away if they don't get replaced, and what's possible.
If the members of the congregation, though, don't live in that immediate community, I think you called them commuter institutions, they come into the neighborhood to attend church, is there a disconnect then on the possibilities of what could happen on that sacred space?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly the case. And one of the things that I encourage folks to do in the organization I work with, Rooted Good, we encourage folks to do in our accelerator course is to really listen to the neighborhood, really think about what's going on in their neighborhood. What are the opportunities there? What are the needs there? Who are the folks living around? What are the gifts that they have? And what sorts of services and support could they benefit from? And to try to listen deeply to that and not only to their own prior experience as a member or attendee of that church, because that's where the magic can happen.
They may see the church in a whole new light.
Absolutely. And just simply asking, I often encourage people to just ask, you know, the principal nearby of a nearby school or the council person or just somebody who's there all the time, a local business member, if this church did X for our neighborhood, what would that be? What would you love to see happen here? What could happen here? People have ideas, you know, and sometimes it's just a matter of listening to what those ideas might be.
Civic leaders, local government might have ideas as well. And, you know, it seems as if you're asking those local leaders to step up and see them as assets of the community. Churches also have a nonprofit status. So how does that complicate some of these solutions that require municipal cooperation or buy-in to get established?
Yeah, I think, you know, municipal leadership, so there's a couple elements to that. One, I think that they will, if we don't engage in some proactive activity here, I think a lot of us are going to look back and say, oh gosh, we really missed a chance. So 20 years from now, we really, you know, maybe put it starkly, we need to build some more community centers because we have nowhere for all these activities to happen. Well, we have these community centers essentially right now. They're already here. So rather than thinking, you know, letting them all close and be repurposed to sort of privately owned something or other, can we incentivize the sorts of redevelopments that keep them as community centers in a broad sense of that community-oriented activity, right? And so I think, you know, municipalities have an opportunity to, like I said, support and then incentivize the sorts of redevelopments. So it might be affordable housing, it might be early childhood education, whatever it is that a community needs, to sort of support and incentivize that and disincentivize, frankly, a little bit some of the other types of things that might happen with these repurposings, to avoid us just losing it all. You know, if 40 out of 100 churches in a community or something else in 20 years, that's going to have a big impact on those on the city or on the community, or if 6 out of 8, if in a smaller setting, or even 2 out of 4, whatever it might be, it really is going to matter, right? And so there is a way in which municipal leaders can help encourage some of these things to happen. The city of San Antonio has looked at it, and they at one point said that it's possible they could solve their entire affordable housing crisis with church property alone in the city of San Antonio. Now, I would argue it's not the church's responsibility on their own to solve that problem, right? That's a problem that should be borne by all of us and by cities more broadly than that. But I think it's an interesting sort of reflection that church property, just church property, could be leveraged to solve that problem in a city the size of San Antonio, one of the largest in the country. So that's a fascinating sort of way of thinking about it.
when developers are in the conversation, when they've been invited in by the church, or a developer comes knocking and says, you know, we would love to redevelop this, what are some things that churches should consider when they are negotiating with developers?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big question, but certainly, I think from my view, it all starts with mission alignment and kind of what you're trying to accomplish. Obviously, dollars matter and, you know, real estate questions matter. But in my view, it's much secondary. Those are secondary to what is the impact going to be. So I often ask and encourage church leadership to say to themselves, let's imagine 50 years from now, we come back to this space. And in most cases, the people in the room won't be around 50 years from now, which is why I sort of said it at that point, right? Myself included. And so 50 years from now, but let's imagine we could come back here. What's happening here? What's happening in this parcel of land or on this property or this real estate that sort of we have to steward at this moment? And is what's happening there 50 years from now something we feel good about? Is that a legacy that we feel really good about? Because we today have the opportunity to shape what's going to happen at that point in the future. And those are the questions I think that really need to drive those conversations with developers. And some developers will get that and will get on board with that and will be able to support that. And sure, they'll make some money on it, but everyone should sort of benefit from it, right? That's fine. And then others won't. Others will not be aligned with that at all. And maybe let them go their way and do something else, right? And so, you know, but those are the starting point questions that I think are most helpful. And then the other ones around how much is it worth and how much do we sell it for, or how do we do this or that, or what's the legal arrangement? Those can all be worked out.
And the risk.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, and the risk, that's right. There are differences in risk, you know, and risk and sort of possibilities for both the church and a partner. But those I feel like can all be worked out later or sort of secondarily to the core questions. Yeah.
As you look across America, then, where do you find hope at this intersection and this transition point for churches?
Yeah, people ask me that a lot. I actually find it a quite hopeful and exciting time. I mean, there's certainly, as a clergy member, the sense of, oh, gosh, the model that I came through and that I know is disappearing rapidly. But when I look back at the story of the early Christian church, for example, or even just really many faith traditions, I don't see an institution. I see people living together. I see a way of life and sort of life together and in community and for each other. And that, I believe, still is going to happen. I still think people want and need these experiences of transcendence and of divine moments. They still care about things that matter to each other. They still want to be in community with people, perhaps more than ever as we live in this digital world that we now live in. And that, I think, is going to continue, it just in radically different form. And in my view, the church has this chance to shift into that and to continue to be the gathered community of people trying to live out their faith in the world. It just, their real estate's going to have to change along with it, right? And so... But it's also a great opportunity. I mean, where, again, let's pick Madison, where you have a whole bunch of properties that are going to be available in the next decade. When else do you have the chance to get property all over the city and in infill locations and amazing spots on bus lines and all over the place and do something new with them and think about doing something new with them? And so let's not squander that chance to do some really community building, exciting things on that land.
Reverend Elsden, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Reverend Mark Elsden is Executive Director of Press House, a campus ministry and student housing community at UW-Madison. He is the editor of the book Gone for Good.